This morning, we're going to be looking at what it means for God to be our shepherd. I read in the text from John chapter 10, 11, which says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, in Psalm 23, this beautiful story, analogy of God being a shepherd to his people. His people is you and me. And in this picture, we have us, or David the psalmist, talking about us being like sheep. And we're going to look a little bit at why God brings that analogy between him being a shepherd and us being like sheep. The clause, the Lord is my shepherd, comes from one of the most beloved psalms of all, Psalm 23. In this passage and throughout the New Testament, we learn that God is a shepherd to us in two ways. First, as the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd that cares for us. So much so that he was willing and prepared, as we learned on Easter Sunday, that he laid down his life for us and he rose again. And second, in the New Testament, we learn about hearing his voice and knowing him and following the voice of the shepherd. Now, I assume for most of us, we have never really experienced sheep being herded, shepherded, because we live in an urban city like Mumbai. But I know for myself, I've had the great opportunity to actually see herds of sheep, or flocks of sheep, rather. Herds of thousands, flocks of sheep. You don't want a cow, you are a sheep in this context right now. And it's interesting to see how these sheep behave and why Jesus and the New Testament, the Old Testament, brings in this whole analogy and picture of God being a shepherd and us being his sheep. Now, it's not just that we need to bleat like sheep, but it just brings a little bit of a picture. Now, just like sheep, we all face a tendency to drift away from God, to follow our own desires, to lust after the flesh, to break his commandments. And when we do those things, we run the risk of getting lost. We run the risk of forgetting where we belong. We run the risk of not knowing where we need to be placed. We run the risk of having a sense of not knowing who we are, our identity, and what God's purpose and plan is for our lives. And furthermore, when we go through these times of uncertainty, we lose sight of our purpose, our plan, our identity, our destiny in Christ Jesus. We tend to lose sight of the bigger picture, and that God is our shepherd, and that he loves us, and that he cares for us. And we become independent, self-assuming people that try and work all our issues out by ourselves. And it's so easy for us to make these little drifts and little decisions that take us further and further away from really seeing God as our shepherd. And he's not just a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. The further we move away in our relationship with God, the closer we come to being approached and attacked by the schemes and the plans of the evil one, to bring temptation, to bring difficulty, to bring challenges. And again, we try and fight and deal with these things on our own, but I want to remind us this morning through this text that says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, that God cares about you. He's concerned about where you are, whatever position or situation you are in. God's mind is on you. He is mindful of you. And he wants to protect you and keep you safe. And there is that safety that we have when we are in relationship with the good shepherd. Now, here's something about sheep, and you might identify with it or not. But sheep are basically helpless creatures who cannot survive long without a shepherd. A shepherd upon whose care they are totally dependent on. Sheep are totally dependent on the Lord to shepherd and to protect them and to care for them. As we consider ourselves in this picture to be sheep. Sheep also are essentially dumb animals. I'm not suggesting that you are dumb. But sheep are essentially pretty dumb animals. They have poor eyesight. They have poor hearing. They get frightened very easily. In fact, it is known for sheep to die of a heart attack just doing nothing. It's because the way their body is made that they can very easily get a heart attack and die. Anxiety. And this world itself offers us enough things to be anxious about. They're very slow animals who cannot escape predators. They cannot become easy prey. They have no camouflage. They don't know how to be wise or to duck and hide. They're kind of just there. Come and get me. I wonder, why does Jesus use the analogy of sheep? Why does David in Psalm 23, one of the Psalms that most of us know by heart, that we all grow up learning to say right from the time of the children, why is this picture and this analogy of shepherd and sheep so important? Why does Jesus consider himself to be the good shepherd and sees us as the sheep? Are we something like this sheep? Do we sometimes do silly things, dumb things, say, man, why are you doing that? Do we sometimes drift away? Is our foresight of the plans and purposes that God has for us so short that we're looking at the grass for today and forgetting about the harvest of tomorrow? Are we sometimes so afraid and anxious about what is happening right now that we try and work things out, losing sight that the Good Shepherd is caring for us and has a path and a plan for us? Now I know you've probably heard this, and I've seen one of two sides. I've seen good shepherds, and I've also seen sheep being led to the slaughterhouse. Where I grew up in Bangalore, the nearest slaughterhouse was a few blocks away, and the sheep and the goats and the cows as well, and other four-legged creatures would have to journey past our home, and they would congregate as they came in batches of 50 and 100, and sometimes they'd be thrown off these large vans that they would carry the sheep, and they'd be blocking right outside the gates of our bungalow, Bangalore. I would watch these sheep, and they had no idea that they were going to be slaughtered in about an hour's time. But there they were, willingly being herded and guided by the shepherd. Now, was he being a good shepherd? No. He was going to take them to the slaughterhouse so he could profit off them. You see, God is a good shepherd. And the Bible talks about God leading us to green pastures. Unlike sometimes the shepherds that you can have in this world, they don't lead you towards green pastures, but really are waiting to take you to a slaughterhouse. And we need to understand that when we yield our lives to the Good Shepherd, we are under the care of the Good Shepherd. When we yield our lives to the leadership of this world and those people that don't have our best interests and to the spirit of this world, it leads us to a place that does not bring life to us, but instead it takes life away from us. Do you understand that? It is so important in our lives who we yield to, whose voice we listen to, whose guidance we take and receive, whose focus who we keep our eyes set on, because that will ultimately determine where we end up. So am I suggesting that you can be a sheep and totally lost? Can you be a sheep that believes it's been shepherded by the good shepherd and still be totally lost? The answer is yes. Which is why Jesus tells the story of the 100 sheep and the one sheep that is lost. And he tells the story of how he leaves the 99 in the pen and he goes in search of the one sheep. That's the shepherd that God is to you and me. That he cares enough to keep the rest safe, but he will look out for you. He will reach out to you wherever you are and bring you back to a place of safety. Many sheep, when they've been shepherded in farms and in places that are dangerous, sometimes can fall off cliffs, can get electrocuted and do crazy stuff simply because of the nature of the sheep. Which is why the sheep need the guidance and the shepherding and the direction of the good shepherd. I want you to ask yourself, is my life shepherded by the good shepherd? Am I hearing His voice? Am I responding to His call in my life? Am I responding to His direction? Is He the one that is leading me beside the still waters? Or am I looking for rough brooks just for a bit of excitement and momentary pleasure and losing sight of all that God has for me? Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. A good shepherd, who Jesus is, gave His life for you. He will do whatever it takes to keep you safe. He will take whatever it takes to rescue you from whatever decisions, directions that you have chosen to go that may not be where He wants you to be. But it does require something of us on our part to respond to His call, to come back to where God wants us to be. Now, I believe that there are four ways that we can experience shepherding in our life when we come into faith in Jesus Christ. Firstly, Jesus is the perfect shepherd and carer of your life. He is the one who is the perfect image, the picture of the good shepherd. And we need to take our direction and our points of care and concern and understanding of who we are and how we need to live our lives from Him. And for that, we have God's Word. When we read God's Word, we understand the will and the mind of the shepherd so as we can respond to this call. There are also other relationships that we can be shepherded by. There are godly relationships, godly circles of influence that He has set up. One of them is when God places you in a community of faith, when He places you in His church, wherever that is. Whatever part of the world you may be, He will place you in a church. Well, I don't know if He placed you in a church, but you need to place yourself in a church. But you need to know where you need to be. And when you place yourself in a church, when you build relationship, when you come alongside the fellowship and the care and the prayer of other believers, that is a place where you can be safe and you can grow. Now, I understand there is never a perfect church or a perfect pastor or a perfect bunch of people. But you must choose to place yourself in a place where you know that the Word of God is preached, where you know that the leadership is authentic and real. You know where the things are done in a godly manner. You know that things where Christ is the center of everything. And I know here in life, you can be confident and certain of that. But also, God places you in family. Your family is a place where you can be shepherded. It is a parent's responsibility to care for and shepherd their children. Looking to the shepherd, Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to shepherd and care for our children. You, as being part of a family, have a responsibility to be part and to belong in that family and to grow. But what happens when I don't have my family? What happens if my parents no longer exist? What happens if I'm away from my parents? It is important to find a family that you can belong to, where you know that somebody is looking out for you. Here in life, there are families that will technically adopt you, that we will care for you, and we will look out for you. You may be away from your home. You may be away, maybe your parents no longer are here, and you are by yourself. You are never alone. If you belong here in the family of God, God reminds us that He will place us in family. Amen? And here in life, you will be cared for. You will be looked out for. We will care for you. There is another form of shepherding that takes place, and that is where leadership of the church shepherds you. I know for many of us, you've shared horror stories of some experiences that you've had where you have willingly surrendered to be shepherded, led like sheep to the slaughterhouse, thinking you were going to a green pasture, but not your life. You can be certain that whatever we do is for your best interests. Whether it is you bringing in correction through God's Word, whether we are affirming you, encouraging you, whatever it is to see you grow. It is to see you flourish. It is to see you become all that God wants you and intends for you to be. Amen. I'm so encouraged with so many young people that have come into life here that we've had the privilege, and it's a privilege for us, to influence them, to care for them, to pray with them, and to see them grow and become who God intended them to be. Sadly, for whatever reason, some of them have become who God intended them to be, and they moved on, and they've forgotten about God. And I'm thinking, wow, when the chips were down, when everything was going rough, you were every Sunday, pray for me, every Friday, pray for me, and we prayed and believed, and now that you are flourishing, we believe now that we can do it all by ourselves. But you know what? We still reach out to these people. We still care for these people. Because relationship is more important than some decision and something they have taken right now. Amen? And in life, one of the values is to build authentic, real relationships where you don't have to pretend to be somebody you're not. If you're having a bad day, have it. Have it right here. It's okay. We understand. If you're having a good day, have it. We'll celebrate together. Wherever you're at, we're going to work together and live together and become all that Jesus wants us to be. The leadership and care that we offer here in life and other leaders is there to help you to become who Jesus wants you to be. Our role is not to be moral policemen or to be, you know, spiritual spies spying on your life. Are you in sin or not? You know, are you living a godly life or not? Is your life up to scratch? You know what? We will show you, we will teach you, we will guide you, but ultimately you have got to drink. Ultimately you have got to eat the spiritual food, and you have got to surrender your life. I cannot make you surrender your life. I cannot force you to surrender your life to Jesus. It is a choice that you make. And when you make that choice, all of heaven opens up over your life. Amen. I cannot surrender on your behalf. I cannot pray for forgiveness for your sin on your behalf. You have access to God. Amen. The Good Shepherd. It is my role to guide you and to care for you. It is our role as a family to help you to get to that place where you see Jesus as your Good Shepherd, and that you belong to the wider family of God. Amen? Is that good? And it's a safe place that you can be in. And one of the other ways that God brings care and pastoral shepherding in our lives is through godly friendships. I know we can all have friendships that are anything but godly. And we need to have those friendships because we need to reach out to people who don't know Jesus. I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord and I recommitted my life to the Lord, I was a young teenager. I loved cricket, I loved football, I loved playing, I loved chasing all the girls in the building, although it was a game. You know which game it is, right? The one where you hold the girls' hands, what was it called? Chain cook. How many of you play that? What was it called?
Sucking.
Yeah, what was the best game to play? Always the chance to hold somebody's hand, you know? And those were the great games we had, leapfrogging, whatever else. But, you know, that was my life at 30 and 40. And, you know, I had come to faith in Christ when I was a lot younger and recommitted my life back to God one evening. And all of a sudden, I switched off from all these things that I was doing. I became this righteous, holier-than-thou person that didn't want to be part of the world and wanted to live only in the world that I believed was God's world. And what? It seemed like a good decision at that time. As I look back, wisdom tells me that was bad. Because I removed myself from all those friendships. I was a bit of a leader in my days. People looked up to me. Whenever there was a captain to be chosen, it was me. If ever there was a decision to be made, do you remember how it is? There's always one guy who never made any decisions. Remember that? There was always one guy who was never picked on the cricket team. He wanted to know. Somebody take me. somebody take me. So I if you want to hear me, but someone had to take him. And all of a sudden, I switched off my relationships. And I wish I hadn't. Because I never had the opportunity to tell these people of what Jesus had done for me. These young boys, these young girls that I grew up with, sadly, two of them passed away as youngsters, and they never heard the story about Jesus change my life. Because you know what? I was so busy trying to be a sheep. Bang together with other sheep. Whilst God calls us to separate ourselves from the world, He's not talking about a physical separation. He's talking about separating from the values and the system and the ways of the sin of this world, but we are called to be salt and light in the world. You ever, is salt any good on its own? Or you put salt into a curry, how does it make the curry taste? Even nicer. When you look at your French, you think that it's a bad biryani. But when you bring the salt into that bad biryani, you become some flavor. You can influence that bad. How much salt does it take to change the flavor of a bad biryani with no salt in it? Just a little bit. And our lives, we are called to be salt and light, to go into places of darkness. And I believe as believers, we need to seek out relationships, not where we are influenced, but where we can influence. But for us to do that, we must have godly relationships. You with me? Relationships where people care for you personally. And I believe one of the best ways to do that is to establish core relationships between two and three people. We're going to talk about this in the next few months, where each of us need to find those people that you know are praying for you, that have got your back, that if you're not having a good time, they know what's happening. They reach out to you and you can reach out to them. Establish godly relationships. Jesus talked about it. When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. You can experience the presence of God. And so, we see in establishing these godly relationships, these relationships hold us accountable. These relationships are there to help us to get to where we need to be. These relationships in some way help and shepherd us and help us to stay focused on all that Jesus wants us to stay focused on. Amen? Have you got those godly relationships in your life? Do you have? And are you confident that you are cared for spiritually by the leadership of this church? Do you know that your family can be a safe place where you can get some guidance? Now understand that if your family is not a believing family, that some of the guidance they might offer you may be contrary to the Bible, but a lot of good guidance can come from the family. But where it doesn't, you can seek for that from God's word and other relationships. And lastly, knowing that Jesus is our good shepherd. Amen? And knowing that He cares for us. And if He's the good shepherd, He will bring people alongside you. He's brought Naomi and me here. He's helped us to establish a ministry, a church here, so as we can genuinely care for people that need guidance, that can be shepherded. I'm not saying we're the only church in the city. We are one of many. But God has called us, and God will call you, and He will place you here so as we can build together and do something that is unique and reach out to people that don't know Him. And one of the great passions of our heart when we began life, before we even had a single person that we knew would be part of the ministry of the church here, He said, Lord, we're looking out for those people who we call the prodigals, people who once had a relationship with you, but for whatever reason, don't see you as a good shepherd anymore. For those people who've had a hard time, for whatever reason, in relationships in church, who've given up on the institution or the belief that, you know, I'd rather just stay at home and I'll just have my relationship with God. It's so much safer and nicer, for whatever reason. Right now, I know that there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people just within a square mile over there, people who are at home. Some of them, some of you are here. We've met you. There are others, you tell me, yeah, I got this friend of mine. He stopped going to church. He used to be on fire for God, but something happened. These are the people we are praying for, believing that God will bring them in. Do you know why? Because we will genuinely care for them. We will come alongside them. We will restore them. And together we will build them up. And we will build the body of Christ into a strong, enabled body that Jesus can use. Amen? Amen. You know what? And God's going to use you. He's going to use me. He will train you. He will equip you to become something that you can possibly care for and shepherd other people as well. Amen? God is building His church. We have to partner with Him. Do what He calls us to do. Be willing to make the sacrifices where it's necessary. I sent out a text this morning. I nearly saw this beautiful picture of the Coke, and it said in the first year, Coca-Cola sold only 25 bottles of Coke. only 25 bottles of Coke in the first year. Can you imagine? Today, people equate the glory of God to Coca-Cola. Why? Because wherever you go, it is there. You go to the smallest village in India, you will find, if not a full Coca-Cola bottle, at least an empty one. You go to Africa, and I've been there, in the worst of places in Africa. They don't have petrol stations, they don't have anything. And in this one place, they put noodles in French loaf. I don't know why, but that's all I ate for 6 days. And there was one Coca-Cola, you could get Coca-Cola. Wherever you go, Coca-Cola is available. Can you imagine if they'd said to Coca-Cola, the owners would say, you know, 25 bottles in the first year, let's wrap up shop. Let's give up. I don't think anybody is really interested in Coca-Cola. What would you be drinking? There'd be no thumbs up either. You just want to call us, pop your thumbs up if you're drinking thumbs up. The point I'm making is never despise the day of small beginnings. Amen. We had a stage. I'd love for the church to do 200-300. Oh, that was our dream. First year 50, second year 100, third year. And sometimes it's like, God, what's happening here? We're doing everything we can. Loving people, we care for people. You know, our leadership is positive and affirming and strong where it needs to be, but they seem loving and caring. But you know what? We need to keep the bigger picture. If God has called us, He is faithful and just, and He will complete the good work that He has called us to do. Amen. Amen. I know time is coming where this place will not be enough, but we will have more than one service. I know very soon we will be opening up life at Hawaii. These are the things that God is calling us to do. And you will be part of all that we are doing, influencing and seeing people established in God's kingdom. Amen. Well, there are four things that require us to achieve what Coke achieved many, many years ago. One is loyalty. Two is faithfulness. Three is courage. The courage to keep believing and pushing through. And the fourth is commitment, to stay on the track, not to let go, to hold up. And I'm encouraging us as we move forward, as we continue reaching out to people, as God has placed you here, as He has brought you here, there's a purpose for you. We've got to discover that and find that. We've got to encourage you and build you up. To find your purpose in life, and in doing that, you will achieve all that God wants you to do. And in doing that, the kingdom of God will be established. His church will grow, and the name of Jesus will be glorified. Amen. We preach the word, but we must also be the word. These two things are inseparable. And I think one of the best ways that you and I can preach the word of God is by being the word of God. Amen. Jesus came down on this earth and He became the word. God could have shouted out from heaven, hey everybody, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Unless you follow me, you're going to hell. He could have done that from heaven, couldn't he? But what did he do? He came down on earth as one of us. And he built a relationship. And as people saw him, and they heard what he said, and they saw what he did, they think, my God, he's somebody I want to. Amen. In the same way in our lives, as we talk about God and what He does, and our lives match up to what we are saying, people say, what you have is something unique. I know you're not perfect, but I see your heart is inclined towards God. I know you don't get it right all the time, but there's in you a genuine desire for God, and people find Jesus in you and are attracted to you. Amen. Amen. What a privilege we have to bring people to the Good Shepherd. I want us in closing to read the Psalm together, Psalm 23. It says, let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just bow our heads. Jesus, I thank you that you are a good shepherd, and that you care for us, and that you love us in ways that are beyond our understanding. And Lord, this morning, if any of us feel a little bit lost, feel like we have strayed, please know this morning that God is inviting you back to come back in the fold, to belong, to be part of the body of Christ, and to be get connected and to grow and to flourish and become all that you need to be. Don't believe that you can achieve all you need to achieve in isolation. God calls us to be in relationship and fellowship. It begins with us establishing and re-establishing, if needed, our relationship with the Good Shepherd, and allowing His good plans and His good purpose in our life to become real. Lord, this morning as we come to the communion table, we come confident that you love us, that you care for us. We come confident knowing that you placed us in a good place here in life. Lord, we come confident knowing that we will find friendship, brotherhood and sisterhood, and a caring family here, where we can belong and grow and flourish here in life. Lord, that we will find friendships that will push us forward into the purposes and destinies that we each have. And Lord, as we come to the communion table this morning, we thank you that you laid down your life for us, that you rose again, so as we can have the hope of eternal life in you. Jesus, this morning I pray that you speak to each one of us, touch each one of our hearts, and draw us close to you.